Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. Numbers chapter 21. If you're all there, say a big amen.
Amen.
Numbers chapter 21, the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers 21, find verse 4, and I'm going to read from the New International Version. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. The people grew impatient on the way. They grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God. You don't ever want to do that. That's bad. Come on, somebody say, that's bad. They spoke against God and against Moses. That's also bad. And said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread. There's no water. And we detest this miserable food. I don't mean to laugh, but you know what miserable food they're talking about? It's not chicken, it's manna. They're super upset about the supernatural provision that God's given them. Miserable food. What a bunch of ingrates. Kind of like us. Verse 6. Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, we've sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake, put it up on a pole, and when anyone who was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. They what? They lived. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the incredible opportunity I have once again to preach your word to your people. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come in power. I pray that you would mark us with visitation. That, Lord, when we leave this place, we know that you've spoken to us. We would know that we've been impacted by the living God. So come and have your way. Come on, just for a moment, ask God to move in this place. Lord, move in this place. Have your way. May we never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. No notes for you tonight, but we would encourage you to take them. We had Passover, we celebrated the Passover, Pesach, the Seder meal that we had just this past Friday. It was another beautiful event, and I want to say thank you to all those who put that on and worked so hard, so diligently to make that happen. If you go out there now, you'll see some of the art that's still up, and it's worth looking at. It's what we call prophetic art, and much of that art will be taken down on Monday, and so you won't be able to see it, but you can see it tonight. And it is something that I've wanted to do. Pastor Karen and I have wanted to do for many, many years, and God allowed us to do it with a great group of people, and we'll be doing that every year as the Lord leads us. Something that stirred in my heart when we did it is the incredible creativity and artistic unction and anointing that rests upon people. There are many, many artists in our own congregation and even around the valley, around the state, incredible Alaska Native artists, incredible artisans and painters and sculptors. And how many of you are aware of that? It's not been celebrated in the church the way that I believe the Lord wants it to be. A number of years ago, we did a creative conference, and we told every artist around the valley, you go ahead and bring your art, and we hang the art throughout our building, then the old building. And the Lord is leading us to do that again. And I'm thrilled about that. We'll let you know more as we move ahead. But one of the pieces of art out there is a lamb that's raised up high. I had somebody say, "Pastor, why is there a goat hanging?" And I said, "It's not a goat. If it was a goat, we would have a serious problem." Come on, somebody say, "You hanging a goat head in a church, there's something wrong." No, it's a lamb, and it's a picture of the lamb that was slain. And as I was looking at it, I found myself looking up and out the windows and just seeing the incredible beauty. I saw photographs first, and then, of course, got to see it live. And it's just so beautiful. I'd encourage you to look at it. It's not unlike what takes place in this passage. This passage is amazing, and it is a favorite passage of mine. It's a favorite passage of mine because it was a favorite passage, or is a favorite passage, of Dr. Morocco. His father, Dan Morocco, who's gone on to be with the Lord, used to gather his kids, the brothers and the one sister, and tell them the story about Numbers 21. And he would animate it. And of course, I wasn't there, but I heard the stories of Dr. Morocco telling it in sermons and messages over the years. So when I finally got married to my beautiful bride, Pastor Karen, on the front row, and we had children, I adopted the storytelling of Dr. Morocco, but with my own twist. And we told lots of stories. We would tell biblical stories, and I had my own puppet ministry at home, Pastor Kirsten, Pastor Kimmy, and I can still do puppets, but we won't do that right now. And this is a story that I love to tell. And it's amazing that the story is this picture of this father who is bitten by one of these serpents, and he's dying in his tent. And the kids come and they say, "Dad, come, just come out and look up." And he can't walk, and he can hardly talk, and he's going to die. And the children drag the father out of the tent, and they just tell him, "Look up at the bronze serpent. Moses put the serpent up. Just look and live. Just look up, Dad. Open your eyes. Look at the serpent and live, Dad." And he opens his eyes and he lifts his head, and when he sees the serpent, power of God comes on him and he gets healed. And it's a prophetic moment. And there's much application for us tonight. You know, what you focus on in your life will be a big deal. You can focus on the wrong thing, and you focus your heart on the wrong thing. The Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks, or as a man focuses, so he is. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. And I will tell you, what you think about the most is what you're worshiping. There's this incredible passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You can turn there if you like. Verse 18. "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the Lord's glory, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is Spirit. To behold." You become what you behold. That's a phrase that you might have heard before. What you behold, what you focus on, what you gaze at, in the biblical term gaze, what you gaze at, the biblical definition of gazing, is what you will become. And so it's important that we look to Jesus, the author and the perfecter and the finisher of our faith. What you focus on will affect your whole life. What you focus on will mean, it'll be the difference between life and death. I want you to bump your neighbor and say, "Focus on God." Come on, bump your other neighbor and say, "Focus on God." Looking at this text, the Israelites are complaining. Complaining and murmuring always releases death. And Corinthians talks about that. That they murmured and complained and released a destroying angel. So you can actually release destruction on your life by running your mouth and complaining. Say, Pastor, you don't understand what happened. No, I don't understand, but God does. And if you'll just learn to lift him up and speak life, God will turn it around. Come on, how many of you need a turnaround? All right, God can turn it around tonight. And so they're complaining. I mean, they've gotten water from the rock. They've gotten manna, this detestable food. You know, sometimes we have so much and we are taken for granted. We are the most blessed nation in all the world, but that is due to change unless we have an awakening. And I believe we're having one in Alaska. Can you say amen? Amen. Can you say a better amen? Amen. Their soul loathes this worthless bread, it says another version. I mean, think about that. My soul loathes. I mean, can you imagine if you said that to your spouse who made dinner that night? My soul loathes this worthless bread. I mean, seriously, and they're talking to God. He's the one that made the bread. I mean, wouldn't you just want to be like, you know what? You can starve to death, you bunch of ingrates. And on this particular occasion of their complaining and their murmuring and their loathing, God brings judgment. And it is a picture of what will happen if you get into a place of complaining and arguing and murmuring against God and against Pastor Moses. You're going to end up in judgment. You say, that's not very nice. Yeah, I know. That's the way it works. And so as a result of the problem, they cry out to Moses, and God gives Moses this unusual biblical plan that is a prophetic shadow. It's a type. It's a prophetic act that many millennium later would be fulfilled. And people repent to Moses. Repentance is always a good start. Come on, somebody say repentance is a good start. Yeah, it is. They repent to Moses. Moses intercedes. And God's mercy is seen as telling Moses, take one of these serpents and, you know, make it out of bronze and put it up on the pole. You know what's crazy is they do that, and there's this healing and his miracles, and we'll talk about that in a minute. That very same serpent is later worshipped as an idol later. They leave it up and it becomes this idol. This bronze serpent is put on a pole. And the people would look at it. They would look at it. Verse 8 and 9 is really the key here. It's to fix one's gaze or to look intently. The language in the Hebrew is two words for sight or vision. But it's more than you just looked at something. It's more than you just gazed, looked over at something. It's to fix your eyes. So I'm fixing my eyes on Pastor Karen. And I'm staring at her. It's different than just at a glance as you're walking by. It's vision, it's looking, but it's a fixed focus. It's to intently look at this bronze serpent with all your heart, not distracted by your phone. And so what we see here is that God chose something that would demand an act of obedience. It's interesting. So they had to choose to look. It didn't happen by accident. They had to say, I am gonna look. Dad, look. Dad, look. He had to force himself in his sickness in my little story that I told. And then he had to open his eyes. He had to, as an act of his will, he had to choose to look. God's not going to make you serve him, and he's certainly not going to just release his power on you because you showed up. Well, there are instances of that, no doubt. It's a choice you make to serve God. It's a choice you make to live for him. Look at all the people that came Sunday night. It's the lowest attended service all year is on Easter Sunday evening, and when Christmas is on the 25th evening, there's another very poorly attended service. And Mother's Day, which is up and coming in the evening, is also poorly attended. There's some of the low, look how many people are here. It's just amazing. There's hundreds of people here. Why would you do that? Because you thought something's going to happen. I'm coming. You made a choice to get in your car in the middle of a snowstorm. I used to get depressed over the snowstorms in spring. When I first got here, I'm like, it's melting. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. And then it would dump a foot of snow. And I'm like, oh, God, we loathe this detestable snow. But I've changed. I'm changing. You can do what it wants. You know what I know? The earth is turning. It's going to get warmer. The snow will melt. The salmon are on the way. Come on, somebody. Hey, it's just a matter of time. It might dump 4 feet of snow. It'll melt. Come on, somebody say it'll melt. It took me a few years to get that revelation, but I currently have that. I pray it doesn't change. Amen. Fix one's gaze. It's an act of your will. So what does this story have to do with Resurrection Sunday? Everything. What are you talking about? It's actually a text that Jesus quoted in John 3. And I want you to go there, John 3. It has everything to do. It helps answer the question, why did Jesus die on a cross? In John 3, verse 10 through 17, I'm going to read this to you. Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and you do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, it's right here, verse 11. Verily, very truly, I tell you, we speak what we know and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. Next verse. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? Verse 13. No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Hold. He's referring to Numbers 21. And think about Numbers 21 now, the story, they're dying of poisonous viper snakes. And now in relation to New Testament application and understanding, people are dying because of the snake. They're dying because of sin. They're dying because of the curse. And Jesus says, as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Next verse. That everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Hold that. So the Numbers 21 ties into John 3 and the prophetic fulfillment. Jesus dying on a cross is the prophetic fulfillment of Numbers 21. You say, what does that have to do with me, Pastor? Everything. It has everything to do with you. Because he didn't stay dead. He got up. He rose again. He's not in the grave. He's not in the tomb. He rose again from the dead. And that is what Christianity is, as I preached to you this morning. The resurrection is Christianity. Without the resurrection, there is no Christianity. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 16. For God so loved the world. Come on, read it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. To do what? Save the world through him. That is the Resurrection Sunday, the Easter Sunday message. That's it. So simple. You can be a child to understand it. In John 8, 28, it reads, then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, you'll know that I am he. And then I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. Then again in John 12 and verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world, and the ruler of this world is cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He quotes it over and over. He references this snake on a pole and then, of course, ties it into the cross. Wow. You know, Jesus' death took place at Passover. Did you know that? The same time that the lambs were killed. Here's something you probably didn't know. When a lamb was to be brought and to be killed in the sacrifice for the Passover, did you know that every home had to have a lamb? And of course, there's some structure there. If your home wasn't big enough, you could share with another family so that there was no waste. It's interesting how God doesn't ever waste anything. You see him picking up baskets of leftover fragments, and he's tremendous steward, God is. And so each lamb for every household, you know what that lamb had to have? It had to have a plate around its neck, an indication of the name of the family on the neck of the lamb. So when Jesus hung there and it said the King of the Jews, it was really a title of the Lamb of God that was slain not only for Jews but also for Gentiles. It's so profound. And at the same time these lambs were killed by the priests, our Lamb, the Lamb of God that we're supposed to fix our eyes on, fix our gaze on, the one we're supposed to look to, the author, the perfecter, the finisher, the one who breaks the snake, the one who destroys the curse, we look to him in faith, believing on him that he hung on a tree, believing on him that he hung on a cross for you and me. And when we believe and we receive his forgiveness, when you understand that he's the substitutionary death for you and me, Paul says he's a propitiation for our sin. Propitiation is a big word that means to avert wrath. The wrath that was headed for you, was headed for me, was put upon Jesus on a tree. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. Jesus came to undo all that Adam and Eve had done when they disobeyed God. In Genesis 3 and verse 15, I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall strike his heel. Another version says he shall crush your head. What Jesus did on the cross is the fulfillment of Genesis 3 and verse 15. That's called the proto-evangelium. You have to work very hard and be ignorant and want to stay that way to not see the hand of God throughout all of Scripture and how God puts all of these pieces together. And we don't even know, we scratched the surface here. Just the surface of the revelation that's available. The Old Testament, a picture book of New Testament reality. Adam tried to cover his nakedness, a picture of religion. But God covered his nakedness with skins, animal skins. Only God can cover your shame. And he covers your shame by hanging his son on a cross. In Galatians 3 and 13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. It is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Wow, so Jesus died on a cross. It's the most brutal death that there could be. You didn't die from bleeding out or blood. Of course, the piercing of his side would have potentially done that, but he was actually already dead before that. Now, you die when you hang on a cross of suffocation. You hang there and you don't have anything to hold your chest up, so eventually your body gets so heavy that you can't breathe anymore and you suffocate. It's a brutal, painful death. He experienced the full depth of man's depravity caused by our rebellion. See, if you could just get it in your heart that you actually crucified Jesus. No, I didn't. We all did. Yeah, I know, but you need to make it personal. Listen, if you have a problem fiddling with sin, if you have a problem doing the things you ought not to do, just watch The Passion of the Christ a few times and just skip right ahead to the scourging scene and the crucifixion scene and realize it is you. You're the one. And I am too. We're the one that put Jesus on that cross, and through our rebellion that it shows the gravity of sin. We all deserve the punishment of our sin, but he became a curse for us. He was punished in our place. This is the message of the gospel. You can be free. I remember an illustration years ago of a young man whose father was a judge. And the young man had just gotten his driver's license, as the story in the illustration goes, and he was pulled over. He was pulled over and he gets a ticket. And he comes before the judge to receive his sentence for his speeding. And if you could imagine, for illustration purposes, that the ticket is $1 million. And there's no way for the young man to pay the $1 million ticket. And the judge standing there looking at his son, knowing that he has to be a righteous judge, knowing that he broke the law, has to serve judgment because he's righteous. He can't turn away because it's his son. We're going to let you off the hook. That would be corrupt. God's not corrupt. He's just, but he's merciful too. So he looks at his son and he would drop the gavel and say, guilty. And imagine for a moment, how is that million dollars going to be paid? And the judge would then take off his robes, step out and off the judgment seat in the court, come around to his son, put his arms around him and say, I'm going to take care of it for you. I'm going to take care of that for you, son. That is a picture of Jesus' crucifixion for you, for me. We all deserve just judgment, and judgment was served in the death and crucifixion of Christ. But hell couldn't hold him down because he had done nothing wrong. There was no sin in him. The devil had no hold on him. What a day that'd be. Does anybody have a big set of keys you can throw me? I want a big fat set. Thank you. If you could imagine for a moment, can you imagine the devil down there partying? We crucified the Son of God. Woo! There's just a party going on down there. And then, amen. And then, it says that Jesus took the keys of hell and death. Can you imagine their, hey, what's that? Who is that? Who is that? And Jesus comes down. Can you imagine Satan? What are you doing down here? And he just comes. Jesus says, thank you very much. And he took the keys of hell and death. And he rose again on the third day. He holds the keys of hell and death. The devil does not hold the keys anymore. Come on, somebody say, praise the Lord. That's what Jesus has done. And he gives us the keys to the kingdom to all who would believe. No partiality in that. Man, woman, boy, girl, rich, poor, It doesn't matter where you come from. If you believe that Jesus was crucified and rose again from the grave, and you repent of your sin, you too will be liberated. You too will be set free. Everything, all the writing and the regulations against you, every sin you ever did will be thrown as... will be thrown as far as the... will be thrown as far as the east. Somebody ought to get happy in here. We'll be thrown as far as the east is to stand up on your feet and go bananas right now. Come on. He set us free. Come on, somebody say he set us free. All right, sit down. He defeated Satan. I want you to say this. Say, Satan is defeated. Say it like you mean it. Say, Satan is defeated. Defeated. Oh, let's try that. Ready? Defeated. Try it again. Defeated. Hey, defeated. No pictures of that. He defeated Satan on the cross. God's clearly speaking to us tonight. Jesus' death and resurrection is a package deal. Worship team, please. You see, you identify with him, so he becomes sin for you so that you become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Man, when I first heard about this, I thought, what? What kind of a deal is that? It's an amazing deal. We're buried with him. We're crucified with him. Galatians 2:20 says, I'm crucified with Christ, no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. You'll understand that when you receive Jesus, when you identify with him, that not only did he hung on the cross, but you hung there with him, the body of sin, that which was wrong. And when he rose again, you rise again. You're a new creature. You're a new creation in Christ. Some of you got to change the way that you think. Some of you need to fix your gaze on this reality right here. And when you fix your gaze on that, you will stop living beneath your God-given, blood-bought right, and you begin to walk as a child of God. You begin to walk in a new identity. You begin to walk as free indeed. When that truth really hits you, you'll never go back. Like a dog to the vomit. Hey! Come on, Minister Toby, give me an amen. Amen. They'll turn that mic on eventually. Come on, Minister Toby, give me an amen.
Amen.
Amen. Appreciate you all. Thank God for our sound people and media people. You all do an amazing job. We're dead to sin. No longer has reign on our bodies. Say that. Say, I'm dead to sin. And it doesn't rule my body anymore. Listen, that's not just a saying, an affirmation. It's a biblical affirmation. It is an affirmation, but it's a biblical truth. See, when you know the truth and you get it deep down in you, it changes you. So many live not by faith, they live by sight, they live by feelings. Well, I don't feel new. Change the way you think. Because if you don't feel new and you hold on to that same feeling and thought in your head, you will act like the same fool that you used to be. Yeah. Don't act like a fool, no. Hey, yeah. We're dead to sin, say it. I'm dead to sin. Give you a little homework. Go focus on Romans 6, 7, 8. Go read that. Go read that and read it again. Read it again and read it again. And understand that you have been washed and cleansed. So many people want to declare 1 John 1:9. How many of you know that scripture? 1 John 1:9, great scripture to quote. I quote it, I declare it. It says this, if we confess our sins to him, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Powerful scripture. But you would be quoting that less if you get understand who you really are, because you'd sin a whole lot less. Hey! Don't yield yourself to Satan. Yield yourself to God. I remember years ago struggling with a habit. And I'd be tempted, and I just had this phrase that would come into my spirit. Oh, we don't do that. Oh, okay. Oh, we don't do that anymore. Oh. All right. It was like the Lord speaking to me. So yeah, you don't do that anymore. I'm like, oh, okay. That just broke. Some of you need to say that. Oh, I'm a man of God. I'm a woman of God. You're either one. You're either a man. Do you need help with that? Or you're a woman. And listen, we love everybody, but there is demonic confusion out there. And if you're on right now and you're struggling about your sexual identity, you're struggling in those areas, we will help you. You come and you can be delivered and set free and healed. God didn't make a mistake when he made you. So whatever it is on your, well, we can't even say that anymore, actually, because they're messing with birth certificates now. Oh yeah. They're not affixing gender at birth in some insane places. Destroying the image of God and man. You're either a man or a woman. Don't yield yourself to Satan. Don't yield yourself to sin. Yield yourself to God. And so Satan is defeated because of Jesus' victory. I want you to say that tonight. Satan is defeated. Not today, Satan. You defeated. Defeated. Duh. Duh. Defeated. I'm going to try it with my right hand. You defeated. Duh, duh, defeated. Come on, somebody say praise the Lord. Look to Jesus. I feel so impressed to say. It took me a little while. It took me a little while to grow up. I'm still growing up. It took me a little while to understand my identity in Christ. I'd love to save you time. I want you to walk more than I want. God wants you to walk in victory over sin. He wants you to walk in your new identity. As a man, as a woman of God, he wants you to walk in victory, but you must focus, you must fix your gaze on him. And as you behold him, you will become like him. He'll change you, rearrange you, he'll move you, he'll stir within you, he'll touch you, he'll set you free. He'll heal your body, he'll heal your mind. And for those of you that are in process and maybe you've been through some things and you took a left turn when you should have taken a right and you're like, God, I blew it again. Welcome to humanity. You've said, Lord, I loathe this food. And then you realize I shouldn't have said that. Okay, repent. You know, there's falling away. And stumbling. Peter, when he denied the Lord, stumbled. He didn't fall away. You know what falling away is? It means you gone. If you're hearing my voice tonight, under the sound of my voice in this great sanctuary and those online, and maybe you've done things that you murmured and you got bit by the snake, and then now you find yourself, now what? Lift up your head. Lift up your eyes and start over. Because if you can hear me right now, you have not gone to the place of reprobate. You've not gone to the place of a seared conscience. If you're arguing in your mind right now and you want me to shut up, it's a demon trying to distract you, and I tell him to shut up. You've not gone too far. How do you know? Because you can hear me right now. You wouldn't even be tuned in. You wouldn't even be here even if your mama dragged you. You wouldn't be hearing what I'm saying. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Start over. Start over. His mercies are new every morning. Yeah, but Pastor, it's not morning. Well, it's morning somewhere, honey. Come on, someone say it's morning somewhere. Start over.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you.